welcome to Classic Friendship Podcast. This is episode 2, the one with the lifestyle. It's November 2013. In this podcast is worked by Ursula Wilde, Leslie Coolish, Hannah Black, and Anne Hirsch. This is Ursula Wilde, Mo Dairy, Mo Problems.
Traditionally, milk would be fermented to become longer-lasting and to enhance and preserve the natural enzymes and life cultures already present in the raw milk. By culturing milk, you could thicken and sour it, aid digestibility, and transform it into highly precious foods such as cheese, yogurt, or buttermilk to be enjoyed in small quantities. With industrialization, milk supply became a commercial industry and dairy a part of our stable diet. Today, commercial cows are pumped with antibiotics and hormones, and their milk undergoes a variety of processes, such as pasteurization, killing a vast majority of nutrients and live cultures. What you have left is a food with very low nutritional value, but a high level of animal fat. Western civilization consumes extreme amounts of dairy products. Butter, cheese, yogurt, milk, and ice cream are routine items in the shopping trolley. Yet, eating them increases our risk of developing heart disease, diabetes, and cancer. It's very difficult for humans to digest cow's milk, and about 60% of the world's population are lactose intolerant. Many children and adults suffer from severe allergic reactions to dairy. Among the most common are bloating, gas, abdominal cramps, rushes, vomiting, and asthma. But your body can also be giving you more subtle signs that dairy is stressing your organs out. Excess mucus, digestive problems, fatigue, and premenstrual symptoms can all be triggered by dairy and heavily relieved from cutting down or cutting it entirely from your diet. The best way to determine if dairy has a negative impact on your health and well-being is to go on a 2 to 4 week dairy-free tryout, then listen and feel. It is relatively easy to give up dairy in your day-to-day life. It is mostly a matter of getting used to the change. Let your mind be open and receptive to the friendly universe of dairy alternatives. Source directly from Mother Earth, and your body will soon thank you. Tofu is a fermented soybean product that is very rich in protein. It's versatile and absorbs flavor and spice well. It can be eaten savory, for example, be stir-fried with vegetables and tamari, or it can be an excellent replacement for egg or cheese in a sandwich. As it is neutral in flavor, it can be also used in sweet dishes, for example, to replace yogurt in smoothie. Soy milk doesn't curdle in hot coffee or tea and is a good substitution for milk if you're one of the increasingly many people who regularly drink cafe lattes. If you're hungering for the comfort of a creamy soup or sauce, oat cream, or even soaked and blended nuts can fulfill the craving for richness we all have once in a while. But often it is the special occasion of a dinner party or the anticipated celebratory event that calls for that extra special treat that will cause drama on our path to stay dairy-free. Dairy resonates with memories of comfort from our childhoods. The allure of dairy is also its magical ability to transform and change shape. From a runny liquid into a peaked cream that hits your tongue softly and melts. Think of the sculptural frosting on a cupcake, the heavy dollop cream resting over an apple crumble. But there are many possibilities for enjoying desserts that are usually reliant on dairy for taste and shape. By the use of vegan ingredients that agree with our bodies as well as our eyes. Experiment and be inventive. You can start simple, and here is an example. Almond milk is a nutritious and protein-rich alternative to dairy and is great for baking, making pancakes, or eating with cereal. Commercial almond milk is expensive and only contains a small percentage of almonds compared to a large quantity of water. Making your own almond milk at home is fun and rewarding. It's more economical and makes a clean-tasting, beautiful milk that is also free of preservatives and wasteful packaging. The first step in the process for making this simple dessert is making the milk. You can keep the remains in a clean bottle in the refrigerator to enjoy for days. And remember to shake before use. For this recipe, I found that the delicate taste of almonds worked well, but you can easily substitute the almonds with other nuts or seeds using the same ratio described later. Almond milk. Ingredients. Makes 1 liter. 250 milliliters of almonds. 875 milliliters of water. Place the almonds in a bowl and cover it with boiling water. Leave for a couple of minutes, then drain in a colander. Rub the skin off the almonds and place them in a blender. Add a little of the water and blend into a smooth paste. Add the rest of the water and blend some more. Strain through a cheesecloth or a fine mesh. And squeeze as much liquid from the nut solids as possible. Almond milk pudding with seasonal berries and cornflour syrup. Ingredients: 500 ml of fresh almond milk, 1 tablespoon of agar-agar, 2 tablespoons of unrefined sugar, 1 vanilla pod sliced lengthwise and deseeded, a handful of seasonal berries, for example red currants, blackberries or raspberries, 1 cup of water, 1 cup of sugar, 2 to 3 tablespoons of dried cornflours. Place the almond milk in a pot with agar-agar, sugar, vanilla pod, and vanilla seeds. Bring to boil and let simmer for about 5 minutes while stirring, making sure the agar-agar is completely dissolved. Fish out the vanilla pod and discard. Press a few berries through a fine mesh strainer and divide the juice of separate berries into different pudding shapes. Only add very little, less than a teaspoon, into each shape so then the flavor doesn't overpower the taste of almond too much. This also dyes the milk in the faintest, most delicate and poetic mix of colors. Pour the milk mixture into the pudding shapes over the berry juice and mix gently. Cover in cling film and chill in the refrigerator until they have set. Place the sugar and water in a pot and bring to the boil. Simmer and stir until the consistency is slightly thick, then turn off the heat. Let the mixture cool down a little, add the corn flours and stir gently. Dip the pudding shapes briefly in hot water so that they slip easily, and tip upside down on the plate. Add a few spoons of corn flour syrup in a circle around the puddings and serve.
That was Ursula Wilde, Mo Dairy, Mo Problems.
I'm just here to find out everything I can and to force out of this situation as much emotion as possible.
Next is Leslie Coolish, Invisible Twerk.
Welcome back. The computer hacking group Lult Security has announced it's disbanding, saying it had achieved its mission to disrupt government and corporate organisations for fun. The statement was released days after police here arrested a 19-year-old suspected of being linked to cyber attacks on the Serious Organised Crime Agency. So was Lult Sec worried about the net closing in? Here's Asha Tanner.
After 50 days of wreaking havoc across the net, the anonymous hacking group Lulz Security, also known as Lulzsec, is disbanding. But as to why, that too remains unknown. In a statement released on its Twitter account, it said,
London, a vibrant destination fueled by metropolitan glamour and cultural variety. It is the world's leading international centre for business and commerce. Many successful individuals identify London as the place in the world where they most want to live.
Mechanical Turk is a marketplace for work, and it basically allows businesses to find workers who are willing to do their tasks, and it allows workers to select from a very wide variety of tasks that they want to complete. The name is actually a historical reference to a 18th century chess playing device, and it was touted as a device that a computer, if you will, that would play chess and could beat the, you know, above average chess player. In fact, there was a chess player hidden inside the device, and so you were actually not playing against a computer of the 18th century, you were playing against a person. So it kind of evokes the notion that from a programming standpoint, when developers put work into Mechanical Turk, they're talking to a computer. But inside that computer, or on the other end of that computer, is really a person who's doing the task, and that's where the name kind of comes from.
Amazon Mechanical Turk aspires to that kind of model, to make it look like you are dealing with a machine when in fact there is a small midget crammed inside sweating. And the way that works is you can assign human intelligence tasks, hits, out to the world at large, price them maybe at a penny each. A classic hit might be, you will be shown an image, label it, and you'll get a penny. And you look at the image, you're like, boxes, boxes, there's boxes there, box, and you get a penny. And it's this kind of like rat pressing the bar, and you get a pellet of food. It has this addictive quality where you're like, I'll do one more. And you do one more, you're like, I'll do one more.
You've
and
earned 40 cents.
You've earned 40 cents, and you're getting them all right. You get, like, positive feedback, which you might not be getting elsewhere in your life, and, you know, things are good. But there are a number of worries with things like that, even as I look at it and share in the amazement when you actually do it. The first time, if you assign a task and just watch the task gets done by invisible Turkers, and you're like, wow, it's getting done. But the worries include Turkers who end up doing work that they have no idea what it's a part of. It may even be a part of something that they wholly object to, but have no idea why. The example I've been using is a hypothetical Mechanical Turk task where the Iranian government is desperate to identify certain protesters who were on the streets after the contested elections there, and they could put it out to Mechanical Turk. They could take their ID card photos and put them on one side, put pictures of the protesters that they want to identify on the other, and ask complete strangers thousands of miles away with a set of photos, is the person on the left located among any of the photos on the right? Yes or no? Pay them a penny. Lather, rinse, repeat, and for about $17,000 or $18,000 in Turk money, you can identify any arbitrary protester against the 72 million people in Iran. And I could see Turkers happily doing this, kids happily doing it, to earn, you know, lunch money and not even realize what they're doing. So there's some worry about both the working conditions of people who voluntarily do this, even though we understand it's voluntary, and about the larger societal impact, where now you can write a check and basically get an arbitrary number of people to do anything. Can they unionize? They might try, but it turns out there are a surprising number of people who will want to do something for a penny.
Some of the biggest names in pop culture and politics have apparently fallen victim to a hacking scheme. TMZ first broke the story Monday night. The info is published to a website, which we are not showing. It's thought to include private, personal, and financial information of several figures in the public eye, including the chief of the Los Angeles Police Department. And the list of celebrities who were reportedly hacked is long, ranging from Ashton Kutcher to the more political side with Hillary Clinton. Even First Lady Michelle Obama, along with power couple Jay-Z and Beyonce, were targeted. The hacker or hackers were able to get their hands on some sensitive information, including social security numbers and phone numbers. They also got to mortgage and credit card information.
So I think Cloud and Peer Index are like eBay's reputation scores, right, or Amazon reseller scores, very interesting and useful individual discrete components of what will end up being your reputation on the internet. And the more that things like Peer Index and Cloud and eBay reseller scores appear, the more informed we will be and the more nuanced our scoring can be in the internet.
What do you make of Empire Avenue?
I don't know Empire Avenue.
It's a stock market for reputations.
Well, good. I mean, you know, I think that we have a stock market for reputations in Hollywood. We've called it, I think, the Q score, right? Called the Q score. And if the star's Q score is going up, he or she is more bankable. That kind of thing is reasonably inevitable for everybody, and I would say everything. And so the more math that we get throwing at this problem, and the more data that we can get to constitute the conclusions, the platform for the conclusions we're making, the more powerful it will be.
Life is like a solve a mystery or rewrite history. DuckTales, woo! Every day they're out there making DuckTales, woo! Tales of daring, do that and not tales. Danger, watch behind you. There's a stranger out to find you. What to do? Just grab onto some DuckTales, woo!
That was Desi Kulish, Invisible Twerp.
My kid doesn't even believe in the sun.
podcast, we have two work by Hannah Black. And this is the first one. It's called Excuse Me.
I'll be at home. I'll be at home.
You don't need me to walk. I just crushed
you. You're just shelter by myself. Excuse me.
Do not crush me like that. Let go. Let go of me. Let go of me. Let go.
So when you push me away, you should understand that I am going home.
That we share together.
I would love to take
was Hannah Black, Excuse Me. Next we have part one of Anne Hirsch's work, and then in the next episode of Classic Friendship Podcast we're going to have part two. So this is part one. It's Frank the Entertainer in a Basement Affair, a radio play.
Hi, my name's Allison. I'm a story producer for reality TV dating shows. When I tell people I'm a story producer for a reality show, they usually think that means I'm writing the lines for the people on the show to say. But that's not it at all. After we've cast our group of dynamic individuals, we put them all together in front of the cameras. I watch them and see what kind of dynamics play out. Then I take people aside and just push them in a certain direction I think the story should go. Make suggestions to them of things I think they should do or say. Sometimes we set up challenges that we know will bring out certain aspects of people's characters. But I never, ever make anyone do anything. In the end, it's always up to them. Today I'm going to share one of my experiences on one of these shows with you. It was called Frank the Entertainer in a Basement Affair, and it aired in 2010 on VH1. It was a show about Frank Maresca, a 30-year-old bachelor who was unemployed and still living at home with his parents. 15 women moved into the Maresca household and competed to be the one to win his love and to help him move out of his parents' basement. I wanted to focus on one particular contestant's relationship with Frank, a young woman named Annie, whose storyline I helped to craft, but in the end, I realized she was playing a game of her own. I'm going to relay the story for you by recreating actual scenes from the show, but I'll include some of the stuff I tell Annie and the other girls, the stuff you wouldn't normally see on camera. And of course, along the way, I'll give you listeners some of my own commentary on what's going on. So here it is, the radio version of my time spent as a story producer on Frank the Entertainer in a Basement Affair.
I'm living with my parents in New York City. I'm 31 and I'm broke. It ain't pretty. I need a girl to set me free from my crazy family. I gotta get up out of the basement. I gotta get you into my heart. I'm taking a chance to find romance out of the basement into my heart.
Girls, come into the house. Ignore the cameras. Just be yourselves and have fun. Take a look around the house.
Hi. Hi, Mom.
Come on in.
Hi. What about that door?
The girls rushed into the house, eager to start playing to the cameras. But there was one girl who stood out. She was awkward, dressed oddly, and didn't wear much makeup like the other girls. She shied away from all the chaos. This was Annie. I felt bad for her, but I also knew if she didn't start getting interesting for the cameras, we'd probably just kick her off soon. But I remember from her interview tapes that she had the potential to be so funny and awesome. I hope I can bring this out in her. If I can get her to overcome her shyness in front of the cameras, I bet she'll be a great character. Here she is now.
As I'm looking at the house, I'm surprised because I thought we would be in like this big crazy mansion. But really, it's just like a real home with like a real family in it.
Okay, girls, take your bags to your rooms and settle in. Hang out with one another. There's drinks in the kitchen. And don't worry, Frank will be here soon.
I love the boys' room.
I know.
This is so cute.
I love it.
So cute.
I know. What if somebody takes my bed?
Someone's going to take our bed.
You want to stay here and I'll go down and get it?
I think Frank is totally sexy. I love, like, his shaved head. And his body is, like, amazing. I mean, like, if he wanted to, he could suck on my toes. I mean, I don't want to force anyone into anything, but that'd be cool. And I'm also really hot, too. Me and Frank can make it together.
I took that bitch with the flower pants. I took her bag off.
Oh, my God.
Bag on there.
Good. What is she wearing? She's wearing, like, hippie clothes. Annie, we're looking at your pants, and we're like, girl, why are you wearing these flower faded-out stretch pants?
Felice!
What up?
Why are you doing that to yourself? It's so unattractive.
I am feeling very nervous.
Oh my
God. Cheers.
Girls, gather together. We're gonna bring Frank in now. Are you ready for Frank?
I am feeling very nervous.
Annie, we just want you to be yourself. You don't need to be doing anything except be yourself. That's what Frank wants. That's what they want to see at home. Go talk to the other girls. Talk to Frank. Don't be afraid.
I don't know if he will think that I am a freak or not, and I really want to win alone time with him.
Annie, he's gonna love you just like we do. You're so wonderful. Don't you want to win Frank's heart? Didn't you come here for Frank? So don't worry about the cameras and the other girls. Just come to the living room and meet Frank and his parents. They're waiting for you.
Meeting someone's parents for the first time is just, like, awkward, and you don't always know what to say or how to impress them or how to not weird them out. Hi, Frank and Mr. and Mrs. Maresca. My name is Annie. I saw Frank on I Love New York, and I just thought that he was really cute. And he just seemed like a really honest and loyal person. When I saw him on TV, he just seemed like a real stand-up guy. A lot of people are like, oh, Frank, like, lives in his parents' basement. Like, that's a bad thing. Being with your family is really important. Spending time with your family is really important.
So I'm meeting Annie, and she doesn't really look my typical type, but she seems like a very sweet girl.
So, what do you want to do with your life? What are your dreams, your goals?
I want to be an artist.
Really?
Yeah.
So, what do? You draw?
I do, video art.
Really? That's cool.
Yeah, most people don't know what that is.
Is it like video games?
That's what someone else said.
Annie is such a sweet girl. She's not really my type, but I do have an open mind.
So what makes you think out of all these girls here that you're the perfect one for me?
I'm really caring and I'm really loyal. And also, I'm definitely like a little kooky.
And that's why you're an artist.
Well, yeah.
And so am I, and that's why I sort of, you know, well, listen, there's like a bad kooky and there's a good one, and you're definitely the good one.
That's what I thought about you, too, and that's why I thought you were cute. Hug, you said you liked hugs.
I had a really great conversation with this woman, and I really want to get to know her.
Annie, Frank likes you. He really likes you. Yes, Annie, you're the only girl who had a real conversation with Frank. Don't be nervous. He likes you. Keep trying. Reach out to him. Show him how amazing you are. Show him your art.
I like trash to make art with because it's just like materials that people don't normally use. I knew I wanted to do something creative and show him I can make something out of anything. Hey, Frank.
Hey, you here to shoot me with something?
So Annie's got a fence, some barbed wire, some glue, and a plunger. It's either she works at Home Depot or she's really kinky.
So basically what I'm going to do is make a little art piece for you out of some trash.
Okay, sounds good.
I'm feeling nervous because I don't know if he's going to appreciate trash in the same way that I appreciate trash. My art, I don't take it too seriously. I just try and have fun. And a lot of it is like really meditative.
This is very meditative. I'm falling asleep just watching her.
Oh, time's up.
You know, everything that Annie does comes from a really honest, sweet place. She's very articulate. She might be a little out of place, but sometimes I can relate to that.
I don't really know where I stand with Frank at this point. Like friendship, you know, or romance. I'm more used to being friends with guys and then over long periods of time it turning into romance, but I just don't have that time here.
Okay, girls, you're allowed to get in the hot tub now. Annie, you need to get alone time with Frank. Frank thinks you don't like him because you don't go out of your way to talk to him. You wait for him to come to you.
Frank, can I have, like, 2 minutes with you?
Yeah, where you want to go?
Well, I don't know if you want to hear this, but I think you're kind of cute when you're chubby, too.
Thank you. I hope not to get like that again, though.
Well, I mean, if you do.
I know. It'd be fine. It wouldn't be the end of the world. You're a very sweet girl. You're very nice. I don't really know you yet because we haven't spent much time. You know, I haven't kissed you yet. Well, we haven't kissed yet. I think I've kissed every other girl in this house.
Is it because you don't want to, or it just hasn't happened?
It's nice for a change to get to know a girl and get to know her before making any moves.
No, it just hasn't happened.
Okay, girls, get ready for your next challenge. Bikini baseball. Who's ever named MVP of today's game gets a special date with Frank.
I'm pretty nervous because I'm thinking it's going to be an athletic challenge and I have no athletic experience whatsoever. So immediately I was scared f***less. I really want Frank to name me MVP of today's game, but I mean, I think it's pretty unlikely just because I'm athletically challenged.
Hot bikinis, hot bodies, what more can a man ask for?
I'm on Team Meatballs.
Annie, you're up at bat.
I'm just feeling very overwhelmed. I'm thinking, oh my god, what have I gotten myself into?
Strike one! Strike two!
I just hit a ball, and it actually, like, moved somewhere and probably hit the run we needed to win the game.
Now, there's one very special Cinderella story here today, and that is definitely the winning hit by Annie. And Annie, you are the MVP of Team Meatballs.
I feel good about being Frank's Cinderella story because he always talks about how he was picked last for all the sports and stuff, and now we can relate in that way.
This was about seeing which girl would go the extra mile to win her team a date with me, and Annie definitely stepped up to the plate, so that is why she deserves the MVP award.
All right, girls, that was really a lot of fun. We're going to go home, the winners. You're going to get ready as soon as we go home. We're going immediately on our date.
Congratulations, Annie. Now you'll have your chance to take your relationship with Frank to the next level. Don't forget what he said about you being the only girl he hasn't kissed.
I'm getting ready for the date now, and I want to look very sexy for my first date with Frank.
Annie, why don't you let the other girls give you a makeover? Let them do your hair and makeup.
I feel like a different woman.
Annie, she never ceases to amaze me. She looks really nice.
You ever played pool before?
I never have.
You never have.
You'll have to teach me.
I'll have to teach you. You're up. Okay, so I would put your hand back more. You want to go back as far, and just number 15 there. Just glance it off 15. There you go.
I got one.
Yeah, you did.
Annie, she uses her brain and she uses her creativity. That's a winner.
I really want you to draw me.
I will.
I really want to see it.
I would rather if I had charcoal or paint.
Annie's incredible. She's very talented. She's very sweet, very kind, very caring.
They did a really good job on your hair.
Yeah, you like it?
Yeah, it's soft.
It feels nice to get a huge compliment from Frank.
She looks amazing tonight.
I'm such a dork. I'm such a dork.
It's all right. Relax.
The kiss that me and Frank shared was great. I definitely think Frank likes me.
Come on, let's go back in, sweetie.
You know, I'm really disappointed my walk with Annie is coming to an end. I like her a lot.
That was Anne Hirsch, Frank the Entertainer, in A Basement Affair, a radio play, part one.
Saying goodbye to your home planet is like saying goodbye to your mother. Your mother didn't live long.
And finally we have Hannah Black again. Unconsciously our brain moves towards that thing.
Session, we're going to do an exercise to learn how to redirect and refocus our mind. One of the things that we do that really robs us of a lot of power and a lot of ability to live lives free of anxiety and panic is that we worry about things that we don't have. Like when we worry that we don't have enough money or not have the things money can buy or not have the right skills, talents, or physical looks. What are some of your frustrations? What are all those things that spin around in your head?
we're worried about and what we fear, we actually make those things happen because unconsciously our brain just moves towards that thing. On the other hand, if we focus on the thing that we want to happen, the outcome that we want, the life that we want to live, the skills we want to have, the wealth we want to create, then we move more towards that. So we have to show that picture in our mind first so it knows what to move toward. Frustrations and worries into positively framed questions that start with the word how. What's even worse is these thoughts evoke emotions and you start feeling pessimistic. You start making really big negative pictures. On the other hand, if you learn to consciously redirect your mind towards the outcome that you want, your mind goes to work on that, and it actually comes up with completely new possibilities. You worry, anytime that you're down, you're going to go to do a positive refocus and you're going to say, how to, how do I? And you're going to redirect and refocus your mind toward what you want.
That was Hannah Black. Unconsciously, our brain moves towards that thing. So that was Classic Friendship, Episode 2, the one with the lifestyle. There was work by Ursula Wild, Leslie Coolish, Hannah Black, and Anne Hirsch. And it is November 2013. The musical indents in this podcast were made by Lucy Duncan.
Saying goodbye to your home planet is like saying goodbye to your mother. Your mother didn't live long.